Yes, this mic is on. Good evening, Truth Seekers. Malloy here. Thanks for tuning in. It's Wednesday night, prayer meeting night. I don't know. I don't have a lot here. Have I got any church tonight? I don't know. I read something. Where did I put it? Kathy, what did I do? Where'd it go? Is it in here? Well, damn. I had something really cool to begin the program with tonight. The people least interested in violence in the United States are Muslims, followed by agnostics and atheists.
Ow!
Boy, that's gonna get a lot of people upset. Okay, I have no idea where I put it, and that's a shame. I'll find it later on in the program, I guess. I don't think that is very surprising. I'm surprised about the Muslim thing because most religious people see warfare and destruction and so on and so forth as being, if not okay, at least understandable. What's the term? Not justifiable war, but what's the term religious, especially the Catholic Church will use that means it's okay? For example, waging war on the Nazis. Well, I don't know what the Catholic Church would think about that since they were part and parcel to the Nazis in Europe, but you know what I'm saying. You think it's hot in the United States? 19 states today had temperatures in triple digits. What did I say last night? 15 states? Today it's 19? The Iraqis are having a bit of a problem. The temperature in Iraq is approaching 125 degrees Fahrenheit. And as reported from Iraq, it's where stepping outside makes your lungs seize up and your face feel as if it's burning. The temperature is only half of the problem, half of the challenge during Ramadan, which has begun. The Muslim, what is it, week-long holiday? Ramadan has begun, and during Ramadan, the faithful are not supposed to eat, or more importantly, they're not supposed to drink during daylight hours. And that's prompted some, according to the New York Times, to say they simply would have to skip the fasting part, even though it is one of the primary religious obligations for Muslims. Religion's a hoot. We're going to have a guest tomorrow night during the second hour. Willie Nelson will join us. And I just want to remind you, Willie and Annie Nelson and Farm Aid and Biodiesel are underwriting this program all this week and all next week as a lead-up to the August 13th Farm Aid 2011 concert. You can get information all about it at farmaid.org. But the Nelsons have been kind enough to do this. And as you know, Farm Aid has been going on for 2.5 decades now. It goes back to the bad old days of the Reagan administration. Farm Aid has collected and distributed more than $40 million to help family farmers in so many instances just survive. And tomorrow night, maybe a little bit later tonight, I want to talk about the biodiesel thing, too. I went to Wikipedia today and got some information on biodiesel. It's fascinating. This is not what you may think it is. A lot of you already know what this is, biodiesel. But if you want to get some information, some real information about it, go to Wikipedia, look it up, biodiesel, or look up BioWilly. That's the company that Willie Nelson started. Both are there. Just look it up. Very, very interesting. As you know, we have another food poisoning outbreak. Salmonella. This is the Salmonella Heidelberg strain, which is resistant, according to what I read here, resistant to most commonly prescribed antibiotics. That's according to the Center for Disease Control and, come on, Mike, Disease Control and Prevention here in Atlanta. But this is a result of Cargill, one of the nation's largest meat processors and a global human rights violator. Cargill has a reputation. It's horrible. Now, you probably already know this about Cargill. But they said today, the company said it was going to recall 36 million pounds of ground up turkey. Reminds me for some reason of Sarah Palin. I just can't get that picture from that Thanksgiving those years ago. Remember that, Kathy, where the turkeys were being stuffed headfirst into the turkey killer? Remember that? Anyway, 36 million pounds of ground turkey produced at a plant in Arkansas has now been linked to this nationwide outbreak of salmonella poisoning. One person in California has died. At least 76 so far have fallen ill. And according to CDC, it's Salmonella Heidelberg. That just sounds bad, doesn't it? Steve Willardson, president of Cargill's turkey processing business, said in a written statement, quote, "It is regrettable that people may have become ill from eating one of our ground turkey products. And for anyone who did, we are truly sorry. And for those of you who are going to get sick and those of you who are going to die, you know, that's capitalism, man. Goddamn, it just means you're not going to buy our turkey anymore, right?" I added that last part. But isn't that the way it goes? I mean, this is occurring now with fascinating regularity. Every time you turn around, what is it that you're going to buy that is commercially produced in these huge operations of murder, mayhem, panic, you know, as these animals are ground into bits? What's going to be next? Or vegetables. What's going to be next? What was it? What was the big outbreak of, was it E. coli, that just killed scores of people in Europe? What did it turn out to be? Cucumbers? Bean sprouts? Was it sprouts? Oh my God. But the statement from the president of Cargill's turkey processing business, it's regrettable. And for anyone who did get sick or die, we're really sorry. Oh my God. By the way, federal data show that 10 to 15% of ground turkey typically is contaminated with salmonella. What? 10 to 15%? And the data from tests in 2009 also showed that more than three quarters of salmonella samples found on ground turkey was resistant to at least one type of antibiotic. Now, why is that? Is it a superbug? No. It's because the salmonella bacteria develop resistance after being exposed to antibiotics that are routinely used in raising poultry and other food animals. How many times have organizations, vegan organizations, Greenpeace, animal rights organization, you know, the tree huggers, right? A bunch of damn ass tree huggers, right? Oh, man, I hate them people. Okay, then eat this crap and die. Very simple. I mean, we're all going to die anyway, but eat this stuff. You know, what was the cause of death, Doc? Turkey sandwich. What? Yeah, he died of a turkey sandwich. Oh, my God. We'll be right back. diet of a turkey sandwich.
Yay!
Just about. Anyway, we're talking about Cargill, one of the most violent human rights, environmental rights abusers on Earth. Massive corporation that employs, I don't know what, hundreds of thousands. No, not hundreds of thousands. 160,000? I don't know. They employ a lot of people. So now they're poisoning America again. I know, it's not their fault. It's somebody else's fault. It's never their fault. So the first cases of sickness associated with this current outbreak occurred in early March. Oh, I know. I know. I know what you're thinking. Why are we just hearing about it now? March, April, May, June, July. 5 months. I'll be damned. And additional illnesses have continued to come up every week. Officials said the number of illnesses is likely to increase. Why, of course, because there's often a time lag in reporting new cases. So far, illnesses from Cargill's poisoned dead turkey meat have been reported in 26 states. 26 states. No, it is not clear why it took 5 months to identify the outbreak and its source and to notify the public. That is, according to, who wrote this? Was this from the New York Times on their website? I think it is. It's not clear to the writer of this why it took 5 months. It's very clear to me why it took 5 months and why officials did not notify the public of the investigation. It's very clear. The first question that comes to mind is why should the public be notified? The regulatory agencies that are supposed to take care of this kind of stuff, prevent it from happening, they don't give a goddamn about the American public. Oh, what? Are you kidding me? What, the Food and Drug Administration? They're going to go against corporate America that now determines who sits on the panel of the FDA. They're going to go against the FDA and or the FDA is going to go against their owners. Corporate America and these huge bird-killing machines and poison factories like Cargill, and they're going to say, listen, America, you got to stop eating this stuff for a while because we found whole bunches of people getting sick, and we've had one death, and we look for that to go up. So listen, back off from the ground-up turkey meat from Cargill. Oh, my God. That would cost, I don't know, cost Cargill probably several millions of dollars. How much is a couple of human lives worth? Damn sure aren't worth a couple of million dollars. Not to Cargill. Yesterday, the U.S. Department of Agriculture, which regulates the meat industry, said that it did not have evidence that conclusively linked any particular Cargill plant with the outbreak. Oh, really? Well, maybe if we had inspectors Maybe it's the Department of Agriculture. You know, when you go in to buy meat, if you still eat meat, I do. If when you go in to buy meat and you see that blue stamp, I don't know, is that blue stamp still on meat? Now, I eat meat that is farm raised. I do. And I know that's going to piss off a lot of people who are vegetarian. But I don't eat commercially, and I don't allow Molly to eat it, and Kathy doesn't eat it. We don't eat meat that you buy in a supermarket. I don't want to take the chance. I know, don't send me any emails and tell me I shouldn't be eating meat anyway. I know. I understand. I'm a hopeless addict or something. Lazy. I don't know. I'm spiritually corrupt. I don't know what it is, but please don't. Just don't. All right? Thank you. But the Department of Agriculture, how understaffed is that regulatory agency? And in the areas where they're not understaffed, how many times they put that blue stamp on a great big old hog carcass or a great big old cattle carcass? Just whoomp! Passed! And they have no idea what's in that huge carcass. Yeah, you've seen those pictures. Those cow carcasses, right? Steer, beef, whatever, up on those big old hooks. And chicken rendering plants are just all over the place in Georgia. That's another industry that is in deep doo-doo here in Georgia because of the restrictive undocumented worker laws that were passed here in the state of Georgia. You know, I told you, I've been telling you, farmers here in South Georgia are freaking out because there are no bodies to pick their crops. In addition to the drought that they're experiencing here in South Georgia, now they don't have people to get the food or get the crops that have grown out of the damn field. So it's rotting. And that means the mortgage payment's going to be missed. How much slack do you think a bank in South Georgia is going to give to some cracker farmer who is just struggling to keep his family together? How much slack do you think that banker is going to give him? Nothing.
C-SPAN so you don't have to. It's more Mike Malloy.
I really want you to go to that website, check it out, and see for the 25th time what Willie Nelson and Annie Nelson and the Farm Aid crew are doing to help keep family farmers on the land, their land. And again, this has zero to do with operations like Cargill or factory farms. $40 million has been raised over all those years that Willie Nelson's been doing these concerts to help family farmers stay on the land. So check it out, okay? And you can watch the live Farm Aid 2011 concert. That'll be Saturday week from Saturday, August 13th. Go to farmaid.org. And in the meantime, go check out the website if you feel like it, give a donation for a future good food from family farms. That's and again, not to connect, not to segue into what I was talking about, but that's what we are doing in our family. we have a couple of farmers markets we go to, and we know where the stuff comes from. We know where the chickens, the eggs, the beef, the buffalo meat, bison meat, milk, dairy products, we know where it comes from. And we know how it's produced. I'll be damned if I'm going to eat food that is chock full of antibiotics. I'm sorry. And again, come on. I know that a lot of people listening to this program are vegetarians or whatever. You are following to some degree, I know you are, the situation with the FAA, Federal Aviation Administration. Do you know what it's all about? You know, the Republicans have shut down the FAA. You know that. And left town. And they left a lot of people hanging. 4,000 FAA employees have been furloughed, as many as 87,000 construction workers and other contractors around the country being laid off. This is costing the government $200 million a week, and these sons of bitches that identify themselves as Republicans or conservatives or teabaggers or whatever, however they identify themselves, you know, the ones that are so concerned about the national debt, they are costing the government $200 million a year. Now, why are they doing this? I know what mainstream media is putting out there. Mainstream media is putting out that, well, you know, the Republicans are insisting that these little rural airports, 18 or 20 of them, that go nowhere and are being subsidized by the federal government, subsidization cease. That is a goddamn lie. That is a total lie. That is not what this is about. Do you want to know what it's about? FAA has been shut down for more than a week, and the Republicans refused to let it open before they took off. Well, here's your story. First of all, the FAA is the agency, and thanks to Dave Johnson at Campaign for America's Future, which is one hell of a website if you haven't been there. The FAA is the agency that regulates and oversees civil aviation. That is airports, airlines, pilots, employees, air traffic control, and just about every other component of our aviation system. And we have the safest on the globe. But the agency has been shut down. FAA inspectors and others are working without pay and paying for their own job-related travel. The shutdown is keeping the FAA from collecting federal taxes on airline tickets. And guess where that money's going? Do you think the airlines have deducted the taxes? Why, if you do, you're a damn fool. No, they're putting it in their corporate pockets. They are taking money designed and designated as taxes. These corporate predators, these capitalist bastards. I mean, it's never enough, is it? It's just never enough. So the government cannot collect the taxes. You would think the airlines would say, tell you what, as long as you can't collect the tax, we're going to drop the taxes off. No, if you thought that, you'd be wrong. $200 million a week in lost revenue, tax revenue, $200 million a week added to the deficit. Now, the shutdown of the FAA has occurred because of a form of, quote, government shutdown by Republicans at the behest of Delta Airlines. Yes! Delta! Over rules about unionization elections. Delta is in the middle of a fight to keep workers from being able to form a union. Delta wants to change the rules so a non-voting worker, including one who might be sick on vacation or otherwise absent from the workplace on election day, is counted as a no vote for unionization, a vote saying no. Can you believe this? You see, do you understand? Do you get it? If you're absent, if you're sick, if you're on vacation, if you're not there on the day of the election, for union organizing inside Delta, then your non-vote is counted as a no vote. Isn't that just democracy in action? Isn't that just glorious? You see what the corporate sons of bitches are doing? If you're not there and don't vote, they want the rule changed so that counts as a no vote. Well, hell, let's take it to the next level. I'm not going to vote for Mitt Romney. So that means he gets my vote. Republicans put this anti-union language into the FAA funding authorization and are refusing to fund the agency unless Democrats agree to change these union election rules to help Delta. Now, you know what's going to happen. In a just society, the Republicans who put this in will be taken out behind the House of Representatives and shot. Yeah, this is shot. After they were pantsed. But what's going to happen? The Democrats will fold. The Democrats will say, okay. Come on back. We'll sign. We can't have 80,000 workers out just fall on the back of Obama again. Obama didn't have anything to do with this. This is strictly Republicans. But we know how the Democratic Party operates now, don't we? Huh? You damn right we do. Delta is calling in favors to get this done. According to Campaign Money Watch, in its Delta using the campaign cash to influence the FAA debate topic, here's what they say. Delta's been spending money to try to overturn the decision to let workers organize more easily. They spent $1.6 million on lobbying during the first half of this year, according to the Center for Responsive Politics. Over the past 10 years, they spent at least $32 million to influence the thugs and bastards that they own in Washington. That would be senators and representatives, Democrats and Republicans. Their political action committees have given $826,243 to members of Congress since 2000. Adding additional incentives for Republicans in Congress to stand with them, Delta CEO Richard Anderson made a $5,000 lunch money contribution to the Senate Republican Campaign Committee earlier this year. How about that? Way to go, Rich! $5,000! That'll just about cover Boehner's bar bill this week, won't it? This is hardly the beginning of anti-labor activities by Delta. There's been a string of actions against workers to the point that the government has had to step in. According to the Wall Street Journal, Delta probed on union drive. Wall Street Journal said the National Mediation Board said Wednesday it will conduct a full-blown investigation into allegations by flight attendants. Union that Delta Airlines interfered in last year's fractious organized drive at the world's second largest airline. Daily Coast reported in June, Delta Air's anti-union practices earns federal probe. According to Daily Coast, quote, Delta isn't just a crappy airline for passengers, it's a crappy employer, too. At least it is if you can judge by the lengths it has gone to prevent fairness in the workplace. And it goes on and on and on and on. You know, I didn't finish up with the cargo thing, did I? There's just so much slime and filth and crap to get to tonight. I don't know where to start. I don't know where to finish. I don't know what to do. Let's just play music and go to church. Kathy, it's Wednesday night. By God, it's prayer meeting night. What the hell are we doing in here doing this? We ought to be, I don't know, we ought to be in the upper room with the Bible open. We'll be right back. I've got you on the loose. I left you grooving. I got you on the beat. I left you broken. But won't you take my place? It's long ago I wandered way out on the cliff with the brilliance of an angel. So drive me courageous. So drive. before the hour. You can almost hear that. Okay, I want to get back to cargo. I don't know where to start, where to stop with just these two examples. The turkey meat poisoning and what the FAA defunding is really all about. In both instances, we're talking Republicans. We're talking teabaggers. We're talking right-wingers. We are talking corporate malfeasance and criminality. We're talking about regulatory agencies that have been gutted, that have been destroyed. 8 years of Bush, and the regulatory agencies became nothing more than the same kinds of agencies that were prominent in Stalinist Russia, where you had a commissar who would be appointed to oversee the free press in the Soviet Union and the free medical psychiatric services in the Soviet Union, and on and on and on and on. That's what Bush Cheney did. How many of these industries, and you've heard this before, are self-regulating?
Self-regulating? Oh. Yeah, we're going to self-regulate. Yeah, okay.
Cargill. Let me tell you a little bit about Cargill. You probably already know. Their human rights abuses, their food contamination record, their deforestation around the globe is legend. As a private company, Cargill is still owned. They're not a public company. They're a private company. It's not required to release the same amount of information as a publicly traded company. So they can do stuff that a publicly traded company can't do. As weak as regulation is, there's still enough regulation to make the public bastards at least show some of their criminality. Not that there's any enforcement anymore. In 2005, International Labor Rights Fund filed a suit against Cargill, Nestle, and Archer Daniels Midland in federal court on behalf of children who were trafficked from the African country of Mali into the African country of Ivory Coast and forced to work 12 to 14 hours a day with no pay, little food and sleep, and frequent physical abuse on cocoa bean plantations. That's Cargill. Cargill is a major buyer of cotton in Uzbekistan. Despite that industry's prevalence of uncompensated workers and possible human rights abuses, and admissions made by two representatives that the company, Cargill, is aware of the possible use of child labor in the production of its crops. The concerns have been made public for the past 6 years. No action has been taken regarding labor violations in their Uzbekistan operations. Cargill, that's Cargill. Those are the ones who put poison turkey out there for you to munch on and give to your little kids. You've got some turkey in your freezer or your refrigerator, and school starts in some parts of the country this coming Monday. I'm going to put a little sandwich, a little turkey in there. Little Cargill turkey. In 1970... Cargill sold 63,000 tons of seed grain to Basra, Iraq, treated with methyl mercury, a practice banned in Western countries. Though intended for agricultural use and not for human or animal consumption, some recipients use it as food, as the only printed warnings about the poison were written in English and Spanish. This led to the deaths of 93 people. In October 2007, Cargill announced the recall of nearly 850,000 frozen beef patties produced at its packaging plant in Butler, Wisconsin. The patties were suspected of being contaminated with E. coli. The beef was sold at Walmart and Sam's Club. In March 2009, the Australian Quarantine and Inspection Service temporarily suspended Cargill Australia's license to export meat to Japan and the U.S. after E. coli was detected in Cargill's export containers. In 2003, Cargill completed a port for processing soy in Santarém in the Amazon region of Brazil, dramatically increasing soy production in the area, according to Greenpeace, speeding up deforestation of local rainforests. In February 2006, the federal courts in Brazil gave Cargill six months to complete an environmental assessment. Initially supported by job-seeking locals, public opinion turned against the port as jobs have not appeared. In July 2006, the federal prosecutor indicated they were close to shutting down the port. Greenpeace took its campaign to major food retailers and quickly won agreement from McDonald's, along with UK retailers Asda, Waitrose, and Marks & Spencer to stop buying meat raised on Amazonian soya. These retailers, in turn, put pressure on Cargill and Archer Daniels Midland, Bungie, Andre, Maggi Group, and Dreyfus to prove their soya was not grown on deforested land. In July 2006, Cargill reportedly joined other soy businesses in Brazil in a two-year moratorium on the purchase of soybeans from newly deforested land. You know, to give the story a chance to blow over. We're dealing with an international capitalist terrorist organization, Cargill. Cargill. Well, by the way, this claim that they didn't know where the meat came from, Prairie 2 writes, every package has a facility number, so there's no way they wouldn't know which plant it came from if they knew it came from Cargill. After 5 months, they're betting there is no significant amount of meat still in the system. In that much time, they could have cut back on bird production in anticipation of reduced consumer demand. When you have this kind of outbreak, it usually goes back to the use of a banned drug or other substance used to feed the birds that came in protein supplements from China! Unless Big Pharma came up with a new drug that hasn't been banned yet. It just never stops, does it, Truth Seeker, huh? It just never stops. Ground up turkey with a side of disease. It's Wednesday night. Back in the day, this was prayer meeting night. We tried to do that on Wednesday nights, but I just couldn't swing over to find some of those crazy religious stories tonight. They're out there, but the only one I could come up with is the audio tape of this guy, Jeffs, the one, the renegade Mormon, who is, what's his name? William? Walter? Jeffs, the guy who's on trial in Texas for rape and assault. And it was a story on CNN or MSNBC. The audio tape was played for the jury of this 12-year-old being sexually violated by this character, Jeffs, who claims that his religious freedom is being interfered with by the filing of these rape charges. That he has a right to penetrate 12-year-olds. He has a right to do that because, after all, he is, he's just like Mitt Romney and John Huntsman. Oh, no, he's not, Mike. Yes, he is, Mike. Anyway, and those are two of the religious folks running for president of the United States. But anyway, they played the audio tape of this 12-year-old girl And CNN reported, didn't play it, but reported that the jury heard it. And according to the reporter standing outside the courtroom in Texas, the audio tape was fairly horrific. If fairly is a modifier for the word horrific. Not sure. And at the very end of the sexual rape, assault, penetration, violation of a 12-year-old, this 50-year-old man then said to her, "You know, you're kind of cute with those freckles. You look like Pippi Longstocking." The jury heard that. Then Mr. Jeffs will tell you seriously that the state of Texas is violating his religious freedom by putting him on trial for raping a 12-year-old, among others. Son of a bitch. I mean, it's just, I don't know. That's, you know, I saw that story, and a lot of folks say, "Well, Mike, that's not about religion. That's about crazy people." No, it's not. It's about religion. Purely and simply. Religion being used where religion so often is used. As an instrument of torture. You know, when we were in Seattle a week or so ago, about 10 days ago, for the AM 1090 forum out there, which was an absolute hoot. I always have a good time out there. Even though I'm starting to feel more and more like the skunk at the picnic with the other panel members, right? You know what I'm talking about. One of the sponsors of that was a company called Not a Number Gifts. They have, you know, all the silly stuff, magnets, T-shirts, buttons, bumper stickers, some local art, unusual, fun, wacky gifts. And I just wanted to mention them. This is not a commercial. This is like when I talk about Heel and Hollers down in Arkansas. This is not a commercial. But they have a website, and you ought to check them out. There is some really cool stuff there. NotANumberGifts.com. NotANumberGifts.com. Check them out. Okay, would you do that for me? NotANumberGifts.com. And again, let me mention before I get all wound up again, this week and next of the Moy program are being underwritten by Willie Nelson and Farm Aid and Biodiesel and BioWilly. The Nelson organization is underwriting 2 weeks of this program in anticipation of your interest in Farm Aid 2011 concert. It's going to be a week from Saturday, August 13th. You can watch it live, farmaid.org. And if you go to the website between now and then, or anytime you want to, and give a donation, you are doing just a little tiny bit. When I talk about donations, you know what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about great big chunks of money. Who in the hell has great big chunks of money? But you're giving a donation for a future of decent food from family farms. And after all this talk about Cargill tonight, think about it. Think about it. When I was a kid growing up, I didn't live on a family farm, but I had cousins who did, and you know, it's still there with me. The smells of a family farm. You know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about. Anyway, Saturday, August 13th, Farm Aid 2011 concert, and Willie Nelson is going to be our guest on the program tomorrow night, second hour of the program. Did I finish up about the Delta thing? The FAA thing. You know, that was a story that just slid right by me. Like, I don't know. Like, remember when you were a kid and you broke open the thermometers and play with mercury? Remember we used to do that, right? It's a wonder that our whole generation isn't dead. You know, another thing we did, every time they come by to pave the streets in front of our house, I lived in Toledo, Ohio, and they would come out and put blacktop. I don't know what it was, tar. We called it tar. They put tar down on the streets. And those big old smelly trucks would come by, and the workers, and the stuff would come gloop, 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 steaming and smoking and puking out of the back of this machine. And they would come along with these little push things to smooth it down, handheld, I don't know what they're called, wooden sticks with wooden thingy on the end of it, and they would just push all this stuff down and keep going. As soon as they got past this, us kids would go out, or we kids would go out, and just dig our thumb down along the curb and pull out a great big chunk of this black stuff, still kind of hot, and chew it. We chewed it. Jesus God. We played with mercury. And we chewed blacktop. Delta and the FAA. And the fact that Republicans defunded the FAA and left town, Obama made a pitch today for, and he said, you know, nobody has to come back to town. You can do this by what, rule of order, point of order. So I don't even know what it is. I don't care. They can do it with a phone call and get the FAA refunded. But the shutdown of the FAA is because of Delta Airlines refusing to allow their workers to organize, A, B, and trying to change the rules put in place by the federal government to say, this is how it works if your workers want to unionize. The attempt to destroy unions in this country is boundless. And the Republicans and the corporatists or the capitalists, however you want to put it, I frankly don't give a damn, are working hand in glove to do this. So the Republicans leave. And Delta... And Delta has been contributing hundreds of thousands of dollars, millions of dollars, to gut the union movement inside their company. In an NPR report, Senator Harry Reid says the FAA shutdown will continue, and he blames the Republican-controlled House and Delta Airlines. He said, quote, it's not a battle over essential air service. It's a battle over Delta Airlines, who refuses to allow votes under the new rules that have been passed by the National Labor Relations Board. The issue, Reid says, is Delta's non-union stance. The bill to fund the FAA, as crafted by House Republicans, includes language that sets new rules for aviation workers' votes on labor representation. And those new rules, I told you what some of them are. If you're not there on the day of the vote, your vote is counted as a no against the union. Ain't that a bitch? I mean, I've never... That is really taking it to the outer limit, wouldn't you think? Ain't no use in diving. What's the use of driving? Straighten up and fly right. Cool down, Papa, don't you blow your top. The brother told the monkey you were choking me. Release your hold and I will set you free. The monkey looked the buzzer right dead in the eye and said, your story is so touching, but it sounds just like a lie. Straighten up and fly right. Straighten up and stay right. Straighten up and fly right. Cool down, Papa, don't you blow your top. I'm going to get off of it in a minute, but the fact that Republicans left town and are holding the FAA hostage because Delta Airlines has ordered them to do that, is just seriously pissing me off. I mean, it really is. Not that means anything, but you know, Senator Rockefeller, West Virginia, in a USA Today op-ed titled "Rural America Needs Essential Air Service." He talks about Delta's attack on workers' rights. This is what he said. Unfortunately, Republican House is holding the FAA hostage and using the, what's this, EAS? Now, wait a second. I've got it here someplace. Never mind. Using the, Essential Air Service Program to distract from its acknowledged goal, which is overturning a workers' rights rule that makes sense and has been upheld in court. This ugly backroom deal is the work of Delta Airlines' anti-worker allies in the House. They want to overturn a decision of the National Mediation Board that allows airline and railroad workers to organize with their votes counted the regular way. Yes and no. Rather than by counting people who don't participate at all in the election. Remember now, that's what Delta wants. If you don't vote for whatever reason, then your vote counts, even though you didn't cast one, as a no. Do you understand that? Back to what Rockefeller said. Delta lost in court, and so it lobbied the Republican House leadership for help. That now involves blocking critical FAA legislation and attacking the Essential Air Service Program, which creates jobs and economic opportunity in small communities by giving business access to travel. It just goes on and on. So the next time you buy your ticket here in... I didn't know any of this stuff. We've flown Delta. It's going to be a cold day in hell when we do it again. Until this stops. So that's the only power that I've got. Is my little inconsequential purchase of tickets to fly someplace. By withholding, I don't know, what have we spent on Delta, Kathy, in the past 2 years? Not much. What, a couple grand, if that? So by my withholding my purchasing power to buy tickets on Delta because of this anti-worker, anti-union, you know, beat them, kick their asses, use your shills in Congress to, even though the courts have ruled against you, have your pigs in Congress just walk out and leave. All these workers, thousands, tens of thousands of workers right now are stuck. $200 million a week is not coming into the U.S. Treasury in the form of taxes, airline ticket taxes. And is the savings being passed back to the flyer, the public? Hell no. Just think about it. Delta Airlines, think about it. If you go to buy a Delta Airlines ticket tomorrow or next week or any time until this is settled in favor of unions. Now, if you're anti-union, this is a better than good sex for you. Well, all right, all sex is good sex. Never mind. But if you are conscious, if you have any consciousness left, you know, I get a lot of people that say, well, what am I supposed to do, Mike? This is something you could do. Don't buy a ticket from these sons of bitches. That's all. How many airlines are there? Okay, not that many. But, and who did that? Who deregulated the airlines? Was that Carter? Was it Carter that started the deregulation? I think it was, wasn't it? Jesus, seems like so long ago. Don't buy a ticket with Delta. Just don't do it. On the other hand, just keep this in mind. If you fly in the next couple of weeks or so, and you fly on Delta, and you paid for that ticket, now a lot of your flights, I know a lot of people in this country, it's corporate, paid by your company, and the corporations are the ones running this. They don't give a goddamn. They just want to see the unions all die. Now eventually that's going to strangle you, but you don't feel it right now because you know you're a white collar dude or dudette, right? You don't, it doesn't bother me. Yeah, it doesn't bother me at all. I don't give a damn. Eventually you will give a damn. But in the meantime, why not just try it? Just try one simple little thing. Don't buy a ticket from Delta! Is that so hard?
Come fly with me. Let's fly away. If you can use some exotic booze, there's a bar in far Bombay. Come fly with me, let's fly away. Come fly with me, let's float down to Peru. In Llama Land, there's a one-man band, and he'll toot his flute for you. Come fly with me, let's float down in the blue. Once I get you up there, where the air is rarefied, we'll just glide.
He's the primal scream you suppress. Embrace your inner liberal warrior with Mike Malloy.
25 before the hour. This hour is sponsored by Penny Burt. She writes, just rediscovered the show when I learned to stream from Portland. Alaska lost its only liberal station with the demise of KUDO this past year. I'd get a podcast, but I have no idea, no clue what a pod is. Well, Penny, thanks for the sponsorship. We do appreciate it. And again, the program this week, all this week and all next week, underwritten by Willie Nelson and Farm Aid Concert 2011, coming up Saturday, August 13th. You can watch it all on farmaid.org. You can go to that website right now if you feel like it. And make a donation, take a look at the lineup, check out whatever you want to check out. For the past 25 years, the Farm Aid organization has raised nearly $40 million to keep family farmers alive and working. And who did those farmers work for? Come on. That's right. A couple of quick emails here from David in St. Paul, Minnesota, listening on KTNF. Mike, aren't we happy that the recent Supreme Court decision against the individuals suing Walmart and AT&T all but made class action lawsuits impossible now? So for every individual that gets sick or is killed as a result of Cargill, they will have to take their cases against Cargill individually, not class action. We have the greatest country in the world, don't we? And from Roz, Mike, there's a massive Cargill's here in southern Alberta, Canada. Not many Canadians will work there because of the dangerous hard work, low pay, and weird hours. Suddenly, I was told many Central Americans, including Mexicans and North Africans, such as Somalis, turned up in the little towns near this mega abattoir. After a while, they brought their families over. I suppose they were glad of the work, and they seemed like decent, hardworking people. To move their immigration or work permits along, I believe that the Harper government opened up an immigration office in the vicinity. The whole face of this rural area is changing because of this influx of a cheap labor force. It is strange to see Africans in these little towns now and Central Americans. It has all happened seemingly overnight. Cargill has the same bad connotations associated with the company here in Canada as in the States, a truly evil company. And when they have a kill, it can be smelled for miles. Ooh, God, you could have left that last part off, Ross. A kill. Yeah. What else? How about Prairie 2's missive for tonight? We're going to get some calls here. By the way, Bruce wrote that the publicly, you know, I mentioned that Cargill is not a publicly traded company, so therefore their disclosures are not as complete as publicly traded companies. And Bruce writes, the reason publicly traded companies are required to disclose their run-ins with government inspectors and such isn't to protect the public. It's to protect the shareholders from being sold overpriced stock. The public can eat poison and die. Really? I didn't know that. I just didn't know that. From Prairie 2, you can tell a civilization existed here by the abandoned roads. The stock markets appear to be stabilizing after the longest continuous slide since 1976. A cool trillion in wealth was lost, mostly held by institutional investors. Your 401k, state pension plans, and the like. People who could got out months ago. Precious metals were the only commodities that were up today, with gold gaining another $22 an ounce, while oil continues to slide. The U.S. dollar was weaker today after several days of strengthening, but is still in the range it's been trading in for the past year. The continuing train wreck of the European Union banking system should keep the U.S. dollar relatively strong against most currencies, except the Chinese yuan, which is manipulated for the advantage of China. Why can't we do that? Oh, that's right. They shoot corrupt officials, and we reward them. Yeah, China takes them out behind the nearest exchange building and puts a bullet in the back of their heads, of course. Anyway, Prairie 2 goes on. The shutdown of the FAA is an extortion attempt by Republicans demanding the elimination of unions throughout the FAA and the airlines. This has caused an immediate halt to 200 airport construction projects, idling 36,000 workers. This is estimated to kill another 100,000 jobs as the damage ripples through supplier service companies and on and on and on. Even if the shutdown ends when Congress comes back from their break, it will cost the government $1 billion in lost airline tax revenue that is going into airline coffers instead. The people laid off won't be paying taxes and will be drawing unemployment checks paid by the federal government, as the states are too broke to cover their accounts. Grover Norquist, who is known for the pledge to never raise taxes on the rich that all Republicans must sign in baby's blood, and is also known as an unindicted co-conspirator and beneficiary of Jack Abramoff, the convicted lobbyist felon. Those two words are interchangeable, by the way. Grover Norquist has set his sights on the federal gasoline tax due to expire September 30. If he is successful in holding that hostage, it will stop work on most highway projects nationwide unless the states want to pick up the tab. Holy Christ, are you kidding me? This will cause the layoff of hundreds of thousands of well-paid workers, and this, too, will ripple through the economy, destroying even more hundreds of thousands of jobs. Let me pause a second here. I had no idea. Norquist has set his sights on the federal gasoline tax due to expire September 30th. If he is successful in holding that one hostage, it will stop work on most highway projects nationwide. God. Now, don't say what you're thinking, Mike. Back to Prairie 2. Given that most of the states are barely avoiding bankruptcy already after slashing taxes on the rich and their corporations, this will mean most highways simply fail to ruin or fall to ruin or become privatized toll roads at twice the cost. There would be more taxes and fees on the poor and middle class, and still more cutbacks to try to close the gap, with all of this damaging the economy further and cutting state revenue still more. States could raise their own gas tax, but Grover has his blue furry paws in every level of government, so good luck. There will also be a need for more state safety net spending and for police to control the increasingly desperate population, but no money to pay for it. And once the economy is really circling the drain, it becomes nearly impossible to fix by anything like normal means. When I was a boy, my grandfather told me how, when he was a boy, the Indians who would stop at our farm to water their horses. He told me about the Indians who stopped at the farm to water their horses. In our woods was a part of the trail that ran between two river crossings. It had probably been in use for thousands of years. The Native Americans were long gone by then, but their road was still plainly visible where it cut deep through the earth. The trail and the woods are gone. It's a cornfield now. There are lots of places on this planet where you can see old roads left by people long gone. Our civilization is poised to leave a lot of deserted roads. PrairieNumeral2.com. The federal gasoline tax? I mean, this is madness. When are we going to resist? Seriously, when all I've got is October2011.org. October2011.org. The federal gasoline tax. That, man, I don't know. I'm just, I'm getting to the point where I am so tired of a handful of psychopaths running the country because of ridiculous rules in the House and the Senate. You know how when you, you ever ride a roller coaster? I don't do it too much anymore because I never like those kinds of rides anyway. There's just nothing fun about having your insides pushed up around your clavicle or down the other direction, and your eyes come bulging out of the sockets. Kathy would take Molly to places like Six Flags or whatever, and Molly just loves the hell out of it. Molly and her little friend Kathy will still ride them, but I don't do it. But I was just thinking, this is like the like these roller coasters, these monster roller coasters. I mean, they're really the kind that you really have to be half crazy to get on, or a teenager. But I repeat myself, you get on these damn things, and they start that very slow rise, and it keeps going up and up. And up, and you know what's coming, and that goes over the crest at the top of that and starts the downward rush, and you feel it, you know, just for a second, you can feel the rush starting to build up, and then it's just, whoo! I get the feeling that we are over that hump in the roller coaster, the big monster roller coaster, and it's just going to be a hell of a ride down, Truth Seeker.
Against right-wing rhetoric, get locked and loaded with Mike Malloy.
Pow, 10 before the hour. This hour has been sponsored by Penny Burt. Thank you, Penny. Penny's message: just rediscovered the show when I learned to stream, quote, from Portland. Alaska lost its only liberal station with the demise of KUDO this past year. I'd get a podcast, but have no clue what a pod is. Well, I'll tell you what, Penny. If you, Penny's in Alaska, by the way. If you send Kathy an email, malloyproducer@AOL.com, Kathy will explain to you what a pod is. Thanks, Penny. Next hour, I want to let me tell you the story. I haven't told this on the air, have I, Kathy? About Willie Nelson's new song. I don't think I did. I guess a week, 10 days ago, I was into one of my rants. Out of control, frothing and foaming at the mouth, screaming, yelling. And one of the things I said, you know, I was screaming at these religious conservatives, and I was suggesting that even though I don't, you know, accept Christian or any religious philosophy at all, on its surface. I understand the need for religion. I understand the difference between religion and spirituality, blah, blah, blah. I'm not going to get all into that. But I'm just going on and on about, you know, I wish Jesus would come back and just, I don't know, I said either kill them or pinch their heads off and kick them into hell or something. You know, and I was screaming, come on back, Jesus, and take care of these sons of bitches. Well, shortly thereafter, got an email from Annie Nelson, Willie Nelson's spouse, and she said, we were listening to that the other night. We were listening to your rant, and Willie wrote a song titled Come Back, Jesus, based on what you were, I don't think she said screaming about, but what you were talking about, you know, in that rant that you were off on. Come back, Jesus, and pick up John Wayne on the way. You know, time to drive the Pharisees out of the temple again. And anyway, so they sent us the lyrics. Annie Nelson sent us the lyrics of what Willie Nelson had written after hearing that segment of the program. And when we got it, it was like, I'll be damned. Look at this. Song lyrics. And, but we hadn't heard the music. Well, late this afternoon, Willie Nelson sent an MP3 of what he wrote. They recorded it. I guess they have their own studio, obviously. They recorded it real quick. And I think it's going to be a release. I don't know why it wouldn't be. But I want you, when we after the top of the hour break here, when we come back, we're going to play it for you. Just for the sheer hell of it. And when Annie sent us the lyrics that Willie Nelson had written, she put at the bottom, based on a rant by Mike Malloy or something to that effect. Wasn't that what it said, Kathy? And so we got the song today. He sent it, and we were listening to it right before the show. And I'll tell you, I don't know if the reproduction quality here is going to be that good when we play it for you. It's just an MP3, but we're going to play it for you anyway. But listening to it with the headphones on, and I think he's got a hit here. I really do. And it has nothing to do with me. I mean, you know, the only connection I have to this is the fact that it was, you know, last week when I was screaming and yelling. And if you're a regular listener to this program, you know my take on religion in general. But these phony, destructive, Christ-murdering Christians that are out here now who seem to be running this country into the ground, by the way. I don't need to get into a rant about those people because I've done it so many times, and if you're a regular listener to the program, you're probably just, you know, up your eyeballs with that stuff and just, you know, sitting there now going, oh, please don't get into it again, Malloy. Jesus, God, don't get into it again. I get a lot of emails about that, too. A lot of people say, you know, you're going to burn in hell for saying that, all the way to, you know, we completely agree or we don't agree. And frankly, you know, that's not what I'm looking for. I've told you before, this program is not about enlightenment. This program is about sitting around the campfire at night. That's why we do it late at night, and just bitching and complaining and trying to get it out. A lot of people say, well, you don't have any solutions. Jesus, I've said that. Of course I don't. If I had solutions, I would be in the White House or someplace putting those solutions into play, unlike the current president. So, no, I don't have any solutions at all. I've got ideas just like you do. And I think some of the ideas are good. And I think some of the ideas, if applied, could become solutions. I've gone through that. Malloy socialism, I've gone through the whole thing with you. Democratic socialism. So, anyway, out of one of those fiery-ass rants of mine, one of those nasty, screaming, frothing-at-the-mouth type rants, singer-songwriter, overall musical genius Willie Nelson happened to be listening and wrote this song. See, there's always some good, right? Even when you have some crazed bastard on the phone or on the radio screaming, there's always somebody out there who will take those screams and turn them into a song, turn them into art. So anyway, when we come back after break, we're going to play this for you. I hope it comes through okay on the air. It's an MP3. And We'll play the whole thing for you. Stick around. I'm Mike Malloy. TVNewsLies.org. She writes, if every viewer posted, don't fly union-busting Delta until FAA is funded, on their Twitter and Facebook accounts, the word would get out very quickly. I just did that, Reg. That's an idea. Don't fly union-busting Delta until FAA is funded. Go ahead, tweet it, Facebook it. That's something you can do. I mean, the people in Egypt, the people in various countries use Facebook and Twitter to start revolutions. Surely to God, we can use it to show our contempt for an airline and its punks in the U.S. House, causing the loss of tens of thousands of jobs so that they don't have to pay or deal with organizing within their company. See how capitalism works? See how this works? See why it was so important for these right-wingers to be elected with funding and backing from corporate America? See why? Of course you do. And you right-wingers, I'm telling you, the hammer's coming down. Eventually the hammer's coming down. It's going to get you and your grandchildren and your kids too. It is. You think this hammer is going to be selective? And just hit normal people? No, it's going to hit everybody, including you. But that's right. All right, let me depart here a little bit from all this negativity. All right, we're going to play this for you now. This is Willie Nelson's song, "Come Back, Jesus," and he sent it to us tonight in an MP3. So consider that when it's played. But and do we still have the lyric sheet? Somewhere? All right. Well, it's "Come Back, Jesus," and "Pick Up John Wayne When You Do." The world's gone to hell. Whatever. Here it is. Listen up.
Get worse every day. to get worse every day. Come on back, Jesus, and pick up John Wayne on the way.
God, I like that song. I like that song. I hope he sings it at Farm Aid 2011. Speaking of which, Willie and Annie Nelson and the Farm Aid crew and the Bio Willie organization are sponsoring this week entirely and next week entirely, underwriting the program, which we deeply appreciate. I want to hear that song released. Come on back, Jesus, and pick up John Wayne on the way. Come on back and kick some ass. The world has gone crazy. And it's getting worse every day. I like that song. Willie Nelson and Annie Nelson and Farm Aid and the whole organization have worked for years to keep family farmers on the land. And you know why that's necessary. I think you do. They're a best resource for decent food, decent health, a strong economy. The organization, Farm Aid, has raised nearly $40 million over those years to help out, to help people. And again, I've mentioned this before, I had no idea what was happening to family farms except back in the Reagan years. And I had only been in radio for about 2 years, and I worked for a very right-wing organization, Cox Communications, here in Georgia. And with the foreclosures brought about by the Reagan economy that were occurring in the upper Midwest, the Plain States, I mean, every time you turn on television, there was, you remember those scenes. If you're of a certain age, you remember. You remember seeing this on television. Farmers standing there and their family standing off the side, and the auctioneer selling everything this family owned. Not just their farm equipment and their land and their outbuildings, but also their personal belongings. Jesus, God, do you remember that? Do you remember that? And then in the middle of, and then the farmers that were committing suicide because they couldn't take it. They just couldn't do it anymore. They had worked their asses off all those years. You ever worked on a farm? I have. I've worked behind a hay baler, and I will tell you, there is nothing like that. But anyway, I digress. And in the middle of all this, all of a sudden, word got out that Willie Nelson and a couple other recording artists were going to do something called Farm Aid. Farm Aid? What the hell is Farm Aid? And that's how it started, going all the way back to 85. So, once again, 2011. Good God. 2011, he's still doing it. It'll be August 13th, a Saturday, and you can watch it live at farmaid.org. We'll be right back.
Seems to get worse every day.
That's the truth.
Come on back, Jesus. Pick up John Wayne on the way.
Stand back. Here come 50,000 watts of free speech. It's Mike Malloy.
Ooh. It's about 22 past the hour. Op-ed News has a, they always have very interesting pieces up there. They have one up now. Written by Christine Mattis. She is currently a PhD student studying environmental communication at University of Wisconsin-Madison. She's also a TA in biology and a member of the TA Association. And she's written a piece that it's more Obama bashing, which I'm really into. The header on it is "Enough Equivocation, Obama and his Democratic comrades are right-wing Republicans." And she opens with a paragraph, but then she goes on, "I've not seen anywhere in neither the corporate nor the so-called alternative media an analysis of the debt ceiling, quote, crisis, end quote, that resembles the obvious truth. Numerous comments on alternative blogs suggest that there are citizens who have it figured out, but that which will not be spoken remains unspoken. Not only is the crisis of the debt ceiling a fabrication, but Obama is also getting exactly what he wants. Back when Barack Obama was inaugurated as president, I recall watching The Daily Show, on which a former law school professor who taught both Barack and Michelle Obama spoke about the couple. He told Jon Stewart that back when they were in law school, it seemed to him the Obamas were Republicans. I remember Jon Stewart laughing and thinking that the good professor was making a joke. I thought he was serious, and now more than ever, I still do. What more evidence do we need that Obama supports a right-wing neoliberal agenda? Here's a short list of policies he's enacted or not enacted. Just off the top of my head, she writes, bailing out Wall Street while millions of Americans went homeless and hungry. Extending the Bush tax cuts to the wealthy. Enacting an ineffective new health care overhaul, which puts even more wealth into the coffers of insurance companies, but does little to nothing for sick America, except force them to pay for this atrocity. Failing to prosecute the Bush administration for war crimes, including torture. Increasing free trade agreements throughout the world. Continuing detention at Guantanamo. Continuing extraordinary rendition. Continuing the unwarranted and ill-advised war in Afghanistan. Cutting and or threatening to cut Medicare, Medicaid, and Social Security. The latter, of course, has no connection to the federal budget debt. It is wholly funded by our own separate cash from the FICA tax. Promoting nuclear power as so-called clean energy. promoting highly risky offshore drilling as safe, continuing warrantless wiretapping of innocent citizens, prosecuting more whistleblowers than any other president in recent history. These, Christine writes, are neoliberal policies that support the corporate state, not the people. Obama is not, was not, and has never been a socialist. He is not a liberal. He is a corporate conservative serving the ruling class, a class not comprised of you or me or anyone who makes less than a six-figure income, let alone finds themselves in a lingering state of unemployment. Barack Obama knows exactly what he's doing. He did not cave to the GOP. He did not make concessions to, quote, the other side. He enacted policies for his side, the ruling class, the rich. Sure, you may have donated $10, $20, even $100 to his 2008 campaign, but that is just a drop in the proverbial bucket. The bulk of his contributions came from his real constituents. The rich and the corporations that they run have donated hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars, to their man Barry. These are his people, much as George W. Bush came out and simply stated explicitly, "This is my base." Obama could have asked to raise the debt ceiling temporarily months ago. He could have utilized the 14th Amendment to prevent the issue of raising the debt ceiling from being willfully conflated with the budget deficit. He could have tried to raise the debt ceiling indefinitely, thus ending the whole debacle. He could have taken Medicaid, Medicare, and Social Security off the table. Could have, should have, would have, but didn't. Obama is not concerned with the American people who are increasingly homeless, jobless, and in deteriorating health. He is concerned with his reelection and in pleasing those who will enable his victory. By forcing this spurious emergency, so-called, with the debt ceiling, and by agreeing to a so-called compromise that takes more of America's wealth away from those in need in order to enable the ever-increasing prosperity of the 1% ruling class, he sends a clear signal that he is on their side. He is their man. It is time to open our eyes and understand that in politics, men like the eminently moral and resolute Bernie Sanders are a dying breed, and that Obama was never such a man.
Please help out my family. My mom needs hearing aids, new shoulders and new legs. My dad needs a break. He works all day every day. My brother needs a place and a job where he can make enough money to take care of his baby. Here's a simple dessert.
There are many days.
Before the hour. Oh, and another thing, Andre reminds me, what is creepy about Obama and whistleblowers is he said, I encourage whistleblowers to come forward. They came forward and then he punished them for doing so. Yeah, I don't know how some of my colleagues in so-called liberal talk radio can be so unwilling to see this man for what he's doing. I mean, that's all. There doesn't have to be any personal criticism against him. Just take a look at his policies. He's a very bright man. But I'm tending to swing around to those people now who say that there was no failure. There was no giving in. There was no capitulation on the part of Obama, which is what I've been saying, that didn't happen. And, you know, that's counterintuitive when you first hear it. But when you take a look back at what Obama was offering when he tried to cut the original deal with Boehner and the Republicans, when he was talking about a $4.2 or whatever it was trillion-dollar cut in federal spending over a 10-year period, and he just blatantly laid everything on the table, Social Security, Medicare, it didn't matter. These are not the policy. He was to the right of the right-wingers. He made the teabaggers wet their pants because almost every one of them gets some kind of government paycheck or government guarantee or government financing on their tacky-ass little houses. Even they just about lost their bladders. But there's Obama saying, hey, tell you what, let's do this, Boner. We got a chance here to really crush the working class. We've got a chance here to kick middle America's ass up around its shoulders so that we can get on with the neoliberal policies that I learned about at the University of Chicago, and God damn it, it's time to put them into effect. Come on, Boner, what do you say? And of course, Boner is a drunk. Boner looked at him like, what? Jesus Christ, Mr. President, are you kidding me? You're willing to... Ooh, boy, you're going to piss off your base. You think that happened? Huh? Is that possible? Is that what happened, Truth Seeker? Huh? I don't know. But that's what it is starting to feel like. Aren't you sick? I mean, seriously, aren't you sick of telling yourself or listening to someone like, if you listen to this radio program, someone like me saying, well, you know, I'm really tired of Obama copping out here at the land. I'm really tired of Obama not being able to negotiate. I'm really tired of Obama giving away the farm, when the negotiations just began. I'm really tired of the way Obama didn't have the courage to stand up to these teabagger bastards. I mean, aren't you getting tired of hearing that? I am. I'm getting tired of hearing it and saying it. I'm starting to believe some of those people who are starting to penetrate my consciousness with these emails and these op-ed pieces that say, look, wake up and smell the reality. There was no failure of leadership on the part of Barack Obama. He does not represent the people. He represents corporate America, period. Now, where does that come from? Does that come from a bunch of, fringe writers out there on the internets? Let me suggest that it comes from his policies. Take a look at what he does, not what he says. George W. Bush did exactly what he said he was going to do. He absolutely, God told me to invade Iraq. God damn it, I'm invading Iraq. I'm not going to ignore God. I'm on it. Let's go. Come on, bring the tanks. I'm going to give the rich people in this country a break. That's my base. What does Obama do? Now, I know a lot of people listen to this program. I'm sure I'm losing liberals hand over fist. That's just the way it goes, brothers and sisters. I would rather deal with a George Bush than deal with a hypocrite. I'm sorry. I'm not going for it. I am not going for it. If you want to cut and run and bail out of this program because, oh, yeah, goddamn Malloy, you know, all he does is Obama bash, you go right ahead. Don't let the door hit you on the ass on your way out, okay? See ya. Wouldn't want to be ya. But the reason that I keep talking about this is because I'm sick, and I'm assuming that you're sick. This country is about to disintegrate. Are you not aware of that? And we have a president who abso-goddamn-lutely refuses to turn it all around. You got to wonder why. I'm not talking about usurping the legislative branch. There are hundreds of things this president can do. But he won't do it. Is that because he's a great compromiser, like I've suggested? I don't think so. Is it because he's a coward, like I've suggested? I don't think so. Is it because he's afraid of these white bastards who constantly threaten him? I don't think that's it either. I think Barack Obama, I'm beginning to think Barack Obama is exactly what his policies, what his actions show him to be. How can you avoid that, Truth Seeker? I mean, come on. How do you do that? I used to do that a lot. I'd listen to the rhetoric and then go vote and then go, oh, goddamn, what happened? That's not the way I thought it was going to be. What happened? I have done that. Repeatedly. Denial. No, he's got a D behind his name, or she's got a D behind her name. It's got to be okay. I'm missing something here. It's got to be okay. I know this is a long-term plan. I just can't see it because I'm just a stupid-ass talk show host out here in Boondockville. But there is a big plan here. Yeah. And you wait, and you watch. I waited for Clinton's plan. Oh, yeah, it took a while, didn't it? But we finally got the full force and value of the Clinton plan, the destruction of Glass-Steagall and the opening up of neoliberal economic policy around the globe that absolutely gutted the working class in this country. Ross Perot, remember him? He's the only reason Clinton was president the first time. Or Pappy Bush would have been reelected. But Ross Perot, what'd he say? You know, the geek from Texas? Funny looking little man, wasn't he? Too bad every damn thing came out of his mouth was the truth, huh? Couldn't see it at the time, could we? No, not back in 1990. 91, couldn't see it. NAFTA. I'll tell you what you get if you got NAFTA. You hear that sucking sound. You'll hear a sucking sound. As the jobs in this country are sucked out of America and a great big... Remember that? Everybody made fun of him. Remember? Geeky. And then he went off on his nut and said that, oh, well, you know, my daughter's getting married and Arab terrorists are coming to blow up the wedding and I got to get the FBI and the Texas Rangers out there. And everybody went, oh, Jesus God, don't tell me. So... The reason I talk about Obama in such a negative way is not because I dislike him. I've said before a million times, every time the man opens his mouth when I used to listen to, I just don't listen to him anymore because I know it's all BS. But I'd listen to him. I'd listen to him and go, whew, man. And I come on the air that night and just say, hey, listen, folks, you know, we really got to continue to back this guy. You know, he really speaks blah, blah, blah. How long can you keep doing that? How far is he into his presidency? We're at the end of the third year. I know. You can't turn things around. I don't expect him to turn things around. I expect him to be a leader. I expect him to do at least half of what he said he would do when he was running for office. Actually, I expect more than that, but that's just me. And what do I see? I see what I see. I see this man continuing to do exactly what Boehner does and what Harry Reid does and what Nancy Pelosi does and what Eric Cantor does and what the rest of them do. And what is that? That is exactly what their corporate owners tell them to do. You can wander around a little bit over here, and you can wander around a little bit over there, but when the rubber hits the road, all you boys and girls, get your asses back in here and do exactly what we pay you to do. Now, if you find argument with that, I just ask you, please, I ask it every night. I ask right-wingers for years, tell me one good thing that the Bush crime family did in 8 years of running this country into a goddamn brick wall. Just give me one thing. Nobody ever responded. And the right-wingers monitor this program like white on rice. I cannot get away from these pig dogs. That's fine. Now I challenge liberals and the so-called liberals and Democrats. You tell me what Barack Obama has done that has benefited the working people out here in Realityville. One thing. One damn thing. Go ahead. I'll wait.
Stay at the good old boy in Tennessee. Now he's sitting on the sofa, he's looking for a supper, wondering what's become of me. I got a 008 Tina Martin guitar in the backseat of the car. Hey, I am leaving Mississippi with the radio on. Cause we can't find a friend, still got the radio. Still got the radio.
wish I was a hammer on a long round tree. Wish I was a headlight on a long round train. I'd shine my light through.
10 before the hour. Don't forget, please check out the people who are underwriting the program this week and next week. Farm Aid, Willie and Annie Nelson, everybody connected with that organization. He's going to be our guest tomorrow night during the second hour of the program. And we're going to talk about not just Farm Aid, but also this biodiesel company that he's involved in, BioWilly. And your homework assignment for tonight is go to Wikipedia and just look up biodiesel. Just type that in and get some information and so that you know what we're talking about tomorrow night. All right?
Yeah. Okay. Malloy, you must be out of your mind. Homework.
No, you know what I'm saying. Just do it. Anyway, farmaid.org is the website. Farmaid.org is where you go to watch the live Farm Aid 2011 concert on Saturday, April 13th, and perhaps give a donation. Make your donation today for a future of food that's not going to tear your guts out and give you cancer from family farms. Or give you E. coli, or this thing now that's going on with cargo. Oh, my God. Anyway, farmaid.org. They've raised $40 million over the past 25 years. That's gone to help family farmers. So jump right on in. Got something here from Tom. No time to do it tonight. Church night economics. Okay. Also, Julie Driscoll, who writes for the Chicago Liberal Examiner, she's got something here. Republicans fit the profile of a classic abuser. I really wanted to get to this tonight, but no time. And from La Crosse, Wisconsin, did you hear about this? This was the other night. Fire officials in La Crosse, Wisconsin said they were investigating a fire that destroyed six apartments, a warehouse, and a political advocacy group headquarters. The fire Saturday destroyed the La Crosse office of We Are Wisconsin 10 days before a Wisconsin state Senate recall election. That's reported by the La Crosse Tribune. Kelly Steele, a spokeswoman for We Are Wisconsin, said the liberal advocacy group's offices were destroyed. She told the newspaper it was too soon to know whether the fire will have an effect on the August 9 recall election, in which Democratic State Representative Jennifer Schilling is challenging Republican State Senator Dan Kopanke. Captain John Helfrich, La Crosse Fire Department inspector, said it would be days before investigators can determine a cause. Residents of the apartments escaped unharmed. Just an accident, that's all. You know, stuff happens late at night, fire breaks out, you know. Also, via Fire Dog Lake and Op-Ed News, a piece by Kevin Gostola, a writer and curator of Fire Dog Lake's blog, The Dissenter. He has a piece up, Debt Ceiling Deal Trickery, a Catalyst for an Uprising. Amy Goodman has a piece, I think also at, I think it's at Op-Ed News and a couple other places. War, debt, and the president. You ought to read this stuff. You're not going to get the stuff you need to know from corporate media. It's just not going to happen. It's not going to happen. And there's no point in even talking about that anymore, about the failure of the only profession that has constitutional protection, the First Amendment, guaranteeing a free press. they no more care about that anymore than they care about, I don't know, whether or not Murdoch is going to go to prison someday. I'm preaching to the choir. I don't have to tell anybody that. You know, just go to these websites that you hear me talk about every single night, or that I quote from every night, or I share with you what these really good writers have written every night, because I know you don't have time to do it. I know you don't. So that's why I get paid the big bucks. U.S. Representative Doug Lamborn, Republican from Colorado, said being linked to Barack Obama would be, quote, like touching a tar baby, end quote, during an interview with a Denver radio station. Tar baby? They just don't stop, do they, huh? You rancid sons of bitches, you just don't stop. Ah, oh well. Tar baby. We've gone to the Wren's Nest here in Atlanta, the home of Uncle Remus, Joel Chandler Harris. It's quite a place to visit. Little house over here in southwest Atlanta. And those African stories, that's what they were. Were so essential to passing wisdom generation to generation among people on that continent. And then, of course, we got them, white folks got them, and some of the terms were lifted and turned into something they were never intended to be. Boy. All right, I'll see you tomorrow night. Be here for the second hour. We're going to have a guest, Willie Nelson. So see you then, all right? Take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Molloy. Say goodnight, Kathy.
Goodnight, Kathy. Justin.